There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Well, good evening and welcome to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Across the board from me, board monkey, Mr. Tim Dennis. Good evening, Tim.
Call me Chim Chim.
Hey, dude, we are 3 days away. Was it 3 days? 2 days? 2 days. 2 days away.
2 days.
From our two-year anniversary.
I know.
Do you feel misty? What'd you get me?
Well, yeah. Actually, I'm going to dress up a little special for you on Tuesday.
Oh, and, excellent.
You know, that thing you like. I'm even shaving my back for you, so this will be fun.
Oh, yuck. Are you going to shave our logo into your back hair again?
Yes, I am.
That's hot.
It is.
For those of you that are checking it out, this is our second anniversary. It's coming up on Tuesday. Is that it, Tim? Tuesday?
Yeah.
And we're going to be doing another live show Tuesday night. We're going to be joined by our buddies that helped start the whole thing off. Jason and Grant are going to be with us. I know Jason's going to be at a concert with his daughter, so he's going to call in for a little bit, but we get Grant for the whole first hour. Second hour, I thought the light was flickering over there. You must have moved the cord.
Yeah.
Second hour, we're going to have just kind of a little melee going on. We're going to have some of our past guests calling in. We're going to open up the phone lines for listeners that want to call in and talk about the show, talk about whatever they want to talk about in the paranormal. If they have questions for us, they can ask questions. So that's pretty much how we're going to spend it. We're going to be starting an hour earlier this Tuesday night. So we're going to be kicking off 9 o'clock Central and run into 11 o'clock Central because we know it's a school night.
Yeah.
Work night for everybody. You got to get back to work early the next day after all these days of hanging around and partying. So we're going to do it a little bit early on Tuesday night. So you can join us at 9 p.m. Central Time to 11 p.m. and listen to the special two-hour second anniversary show with Tim and I. We'd love to have you there and join us, and also join us live in the chat room. And if you're listening to the show right now and you'd like to be a part of the chat room, just click on the live chat button. The people in there are great. It's a good opportunity. What the hell's wrong with me?
I don't know.
It's a good opportunity for you to come hang out with other like-minded people, get to know some new friends, have a good time. So please join us. Couple quick updates, and I'll make them very quick. The Palmer House Paranormal Retreat sold out.
Hey.
So we are completely sold out on that event. We do have a Queen Mary event that's coming up February 24th through the 27th. And that's going to be taking place at the Queen Mary in Long Beach with Jason and Grant, Chris and Patrick. The whole gang will be out there. And then in March, we're returning to the Stanley Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be out there March 27th through the 30th. So both of those trips are up at darknessevents.com. Please make sure to go out there, take a look at them. Sign-up tickets are selling fast. We've got very few tickets left. And, you know, the one question I want to answer for people that always ask me about the retreats, Dave, how can you do a paranormal investigation with 200 people? We break it up over two nights on the large events. We only take 100 people, and then we have anywhere between 4 to 5 different stations that you're broken off into. And then you get to circulate, you know, in a group of about 20 to 25 people, going to the different areas, the haunted locations, so that you can hang out with the celebrities to paranormal investigate. It's kind of a hands-on course, you know, working with them, hearing what they do. They give you advice and tips on how they do things when they paranormal investigate, and you get a really cool view of all the different perspectives, from Chris's sensitivity to Jay and Grant's skepticism to Patrick Byrne's techie knowledge to John Zaffis dealing from the demonic side and the dark side, you know, knowing a little bit more about what's going on.
And to Dave in pajamas.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah, you get that as well.
Well, that's just the icing on the cake, Tim.
I know.
But
it's my highlight.
For how it works is we get 20, 25 people into a haunted area with the celebrities, and everybody says, well, geez, there's too many people to get any kind of exciting activity. Man, we have had tables move. We've had chairs flip themselves into the middle of a room. And this is in front of a group of people, so it's not just Tim and I saying it happened.
And that's just during the meet and greet.
That's right.
Yeah, that's so not even on the
We got all that going on. We've had we get great EVPs, some great photography, video anomalies, thermal cam sweeps that are amazing. So you do get a lot of activity, and I think it's because we get so many people all focused on the same thing of having an experience that it just kind of transcends and it gets the spirits all stirred up. So we have really fun times and good results at each event. Mm-hmm. So hopefully you'll join us. Come on out and have a little bit of fun. Again, darknessevents.com for all the updates on all the new trips. And as I said, we are more than halfway sold out on both trips right now. So Queen Mary and the Stanley are both almost well over half sold out for the Queen Mary, and we're about half sold out right now for the Stanley. So join us if you can. Tonight's first guest is a gentleman by the name of Nikolai, and we're going to be talking to him. He is an angel on vacation, and we're going to be discussing his new book, Angel on Vacation, that's out. Hour two, we're going to be joined by four of our friends. We're going to have Patrick Burns, Chris Fleming. We're also going to have John Zaffis and Chip Coffee on, and we're going to talk about ways to protect yourself before, during, and after paranormal investigations, physically, psychically, mentally, spiritually, how to protect yourself so that you don't bring little nasties home. Unfortunately, last trip back, it seems I had a little visitor join me, Tim. So I've had to deal with that.
I told you not to use the public toilet.
Sicko. No, but we had some activity going on at the old Schrader homestead bothering my children. And, you know, even my skeptical ex was dealing with something. So we're going to talk about that in ways to help everybody make sure that they're not bringing home an extra souvenir from the haunted locations that they go to. But let's start off with our first guest. Nikolai is with us. And again, the name of the book is Angel on Vacation. You can go to experiencers.net to order the book. I believe it's also available at Amazon and quite a few of the other online booksellers. And enjoy the book. It's interesting. We're going to talk to Nikolai now. Good evening, Nikolai. Thanks for joining us here on the show.
Good evening, Dave. Thank you very much for having me.
Now, this is interesting. I just got the book. It's an easy read. It's full of just great topics, everything from reincarnation to, you know, aliens to interdimensions to, you know, angels, hell, demons. And I want to kind of cross all the borders with you on this stuff. Now, let's go to the beginning, though. This book starts when you were about 14 years old. Is that right?
In that area, yes.
Okay. And now your mom is a hypnotherapist?
Correct.
Okay. And this was just, a train ride that you two were on for a couple of days, and you decided you wanted to kind of have her put you under and see what comes out of it?
That was one of the main pivotal experiences that started our sessions and regathering all this information from the side.
Well, let me ask you this. When you originally intended to do this, had you had any feelings or sense that there was anything beyond you being a 14-year-old boy?
Pretty much my entire existence. My family had noticed that something had been a little different. From being young, 2 to 3, I'd had World War II experiences of information that children can't have inside of gun turrets, ships, movement across Eastern Europe, remembering city names, small towns. I knew the names of extensive nature and botanical.
And that was at what age? You were like 3 or 4 years old when you were having these memories? Wow.
I would sit around and name off exotic mushrooms and plants and different flora, and just as a parlor trick usually to family, because most of them were stunned, and did that until I was upwards of 10. And then as those powers gradually recede, things unlocked somewhat in my mind. And through my mother, we were able to recover some rather interesting information.
So when you started this journey with asking her to kind of do hypnosis, now she was against doing hypnosis on a child, so she got you more just into a relaxed state. Was there a goal you were looking for? Had you watched on TV about alien abductees and being hypnotized and having these, you know, memories or past life regression? Was that what your intention was, or was it just to be relaxed and see what happened?
Secondly, Dave. Okay. You know, I've always been a skeptic at heart. I'm a scientific thinker. But after having some of these experiences, including other paranormal experiences I've had, there's just things you can't discredit.
All right. So now you're on this 2-hour or you're on this 2-day train ride with your mom. You've talked her into doing this with you. Now, are there other people in earshot of this? Was there any concern that other people were going to be listening to this strange little journey you were about to go on, or were you in a private cabin? How did that work?
You know, it's an interesting afterthought, Dave. I've never once considered that. Even through the book coming out, and other people that have known about it throughout my whole life, it's never been a concern, per se. I mean, I wouldn't have been concerned then, and nor would I doubt my mother. If I'm supposed she took some safety measures for privacy, yes.
Okay. All right. And as you begin to progress into this relaxed state, and this was in the late 1990s, you start to experience, were you seeing things? Was it opening up doorways in your memory to remember? How would you explain it?
Clearer than memories. Memories in my expectation are energy. Energy is all throughout the universe, and it's what transcends all of us and goes on through the continuum, and that was the first real dose of pure raw energy that had come into my mind or my existence in my whole life, and that was a lot to handle. So those first few experiences were moving because I've seen what I think is, you know, a world and a universe full of experiences through energy inside of me that have been locked up. So it was moving, and at times it's a lot of information to take. But, you know, through the first book, we've got a lot out, and we're in the middle of writing the second book. Me and my mother, that is, she helps me.
Okay, well, you know, what I found interesting, too, reading this, you know, most of this is just like in a transcript form. It's basically question and answer, the way that it's set up. The answers that this 14-year-old boy is giving throughout this book, you know, some of them are very 14-year-old boy, but once in a while, most of it is this strange depth of soul and information that we're able to ascertain from you. And I mean, it's just stuff that you wouldn't think this is something a 13 or 14-year-old boy should be understanding or seeing or knowing. So that, you know, that kind of grabbed it. Now, again, you know, we don't play it up too much on the show. We're skeptical of, you know, a lot of the things that take place in the paranormal, and certainly with claims of being angelics and things like that. It's interesting. Now, you're actually, you're a carrier angel, correct?
Correct.
All right. And can you explain to us, what is a carrier angel?
Well, there are many different ranks of what people would consider an angel. Basically, the energy that I involve myself in to help with the whole process of what I guess some could be called being angelic would be to help. I'm naturally inclined to help. So when I'm not in a singular entity or being, then I'm on my own, just as energy to help others and to help them transcend to different levels. And sometimes energy doesn't want to move as easily as it should.
So your job is just to help coerce these energies to the next level or the next reality?
Naturally, and sometimes it's not even my concern as to why or where or how, even though I can have those details and can recall them in some cases. But for the most part, it's just the satisfaction of being able to help and fulfill.
Now, when you're helping these energies, now, first of all, as a carrier angel, I like the whole theory right now. You're on vacation. Life is a vacation is what you keep repeating in the book, which I thought was a great, you know, a great little adage. This is the break you get from the work that you do.
Dave, life can be anything you want. I happen to choose this existence to be on vacation.
Now, maybe I'm not understanding this. In the book, it refers to your body, the angel's body, the vessel or host being left somewhere else while you're doing this. Is that correct?
Yes, to an extent. How do I describe this? So that this is often asked. In a way that I can describe it. A body is just a carrier of a soul. Your soul travels through it. And as you move, these energies stay with you, and you can manifest back into them. I'm not saying that physically there's a character out there floating around in space you can inhabit. But naturally, within your mind, you can transcend and spectral trails of your energy as well, all throughout the universe. And the more that you go, so it's always accessible.
All right, but now, so you do have like a shell of another body waiting for you, or you just have like another energy form that you'll move into that becomes Dick the Carrier Angel?
The best way that I could scientifically put it, I suppose, in human terms, would be that physically there's not another container floating out of there, but in a metaphysical sense, There certainly is. The physicality in our minds transcends so many different ways because I believe in so many different dimensions and possibilities of existence. That anything is possible, and it all crisscrosses.
All right. Now, explain to me a little bit about, you know, reincarnation as you understand it. Now, you've been reincarnated here on this planet, you claim to think, around 500 times just on this planet alone?
Correct.
Okay. And have you gone back into memories of other incarnations prior to the World War II?
Oh, certainly. I've run through many.
What's the oldest that you've been able to recollect now, through hypnosis or through memory?
Recovered memory. I could say early. I've never actually checked out the scientific era, but it would be somewhere in the beginning of humanity.
Okay, of humanity, or the beginning of, like, dinosaurs and planets and things like that, you know what I mean, or of the Earth, rather?
Well, no, not so much of the Earth. As far as being a human, my human recollected experiences, mm-hmm. they're small, a cave-dwelling family, somewhere in the desert.
Okay, so you do have memories going back that far, okay. Now,
yes.
When you see these memories, are they, you said that they're more vivid than a memory. Does it almost like play like a movie for you, that you're able to see that kind of clarity?
Not quite.
Okay.
I mean, sometimes details will come up. It's more of a warm sense and, how do I say, a complete, full feeling. When I feel, and I can tell the difference between what I know is real and true to me and something that would be, like you said, playing as a movie in my head. It's a very hard feeling to describe, but it's something that you know.
Now, when you first incarnated, were you, when you were first created, were you created as a being to live here on Earth or on another planet, or were you created as a heavenly host, as a spirit, or, I mean, as an angel to do a job?
Well, an angel on vacation. I mentioned that it was born of necessity, I guess is the word we use in the book, that I was meant to help, that they knew that there could be an energy such as me that could be soothing and calming to those who need it. And I'm sure, you know, probably happened millions of times over. The universe is huge and infinitesimal. And I was just a singular entity born out of need. But through that, I'm able to gloriously experience my own lives, and
okay.
It's great. But, you know, you said to soullessly help, be selfless at times. That's why life is a vacation, because most of my time is spent helping others. So why not live it up and have a good time when I can?
Now, is time measured, you know, I mean, we've heard that time in the afterlife is nothing like time here. So when you leave our planet, right, when you leave our planet, it's all kind of relative, right? It could, you know, what might be 60 seconds to us was a century for you, or vice versa.
We have the same wavelength to me. I was just about to say the exact same thing. Time is completely tangible in space. It changes to many different ways, and what we conceive of it here is one sense of it.
Well, do you believe that, in your experiences, can you incarnate back in time? I mean, once you've left this vessel that you're in currently, and you come back, can you come back as a 1900s flapper, or a gangster in 1927, or a Roman soldier? Can you come back in time as a new incarnation?
That is an excellent question, Dave. One I often think of throughout my own experiences. I look back and try and chronologue how I think these have happened and in what order. And for me, it's usually a chronological order. That means that they've happened in time. But I would like to think that throughout the physics and space and the universe, that things like that are certainly possible, and you could certainly transcend any period you wanted.
Okay. So that isn't totally out of the reign of control. You can come back. Can you come back and relive the life that you've led? I mean, if you really like this version, if you really like Nikolai, when you go back, can you come back and relive this life again for yourself?
I believe in a sick, perverted way you could, but would it ever be truly the same? And wouldn't that be part of your experience in life, is to enjoy things for what they are and good, and then to move on? So I suppose you could, but that would probably be teaching yourself a lesson.
Sure. Well, I would guess the lesson is taking the road that wasn't traveled the first time around, making a different decision to set your life into a different course or a different pattern. That's why I was wondering if that would be something, you know. Now, are you... Hello?
I'm here, yes.
Oh, okay. Something just clicked, and I lost my headphones, Tim. So, sorry about that. You got to understand, as human beings, it's hard to wrap our mind around this. You even mentioned in the book that we're only using a very small portion of our brain. And in that small portion, the reason we're being held back is, in your opinion, why? Why are we not fully able to utilize our full capacity at this point?
Well, first off, Dave, I think it's a wonderful small portion that we do use. You know, I can't say exactly why. And as I said in the book, I'm not quite entitled with the key to that. I could be here to help aid that switch in some way, and I believe our brains are due for a huge change. And we'll have to survive and sustain on this planet. And perhaps I came here to, you know, me and many others, help sustain humanity and to make this next huge shift that we're going to have to make. And certainly I think that our brains can change and will, and we'll see what happens here in the next 10 to 15 years.
All right, well, with that, we're going to take our first break real quick, Nikolai, so stick with us, and everybody stay tuned. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show with our guest, Nikolai, talking about the book Angel on Vacation. We'll be back with more right after this.
It will keep you on the edge of your seat.
I must have drank me about 15 Dr. Peppers.
I gotta pay.
Just don't get any on the floor. Hurry back. There is more to come from the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
They're hardly beautiful and barely average. In fact, when they were both born, the doctor slapped their moms instead of them.
I will slap you so hard you end up in the Ming Dynasty.
Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
And welcome back to the show. Our guest this evening is Nikolai. He's got a new book out called Angel on Vacation. Talking about his life as Dick the Carrier Angel and his vacation here on Earth and shedding some light on these different topics with us. Now, you said before we went to break that there's going to be a change in the next 10 to 15 years. Is that a change that's going to come from us, or is it a change that's going to happen because we're not opening up more and accepting and changing the way we should be?
I love that you picked up on the fact that I alluded to it. I believe that we will go through not only magnetical changes here in our own universe, but the brainwave energy that we are receiving and not only creating will change. It's part of our natural evolution.
Okay. Do you feel that with this upheaval that's coming place, now I know we've heard this from religious leaders, we've heard it from psychics, we've heard it from all these different places that there is a major upheaval coming. Are we going to eventually on this planet transcend the need for physical bodies? Are we going to become more of an energy form here on this planet?
That's really all up to us. I believe every being and civilization species has that option and evolution they're ever capable of. That's why I believe this is a huge testing time for us, and that's why, in one part, I believe that I'm here to witness this and possibly to help. I would certainly love to think that's possible. Through all of my experiences, besides not being in a body, that's when I've transcended energy. Once inside a body, being able to fully transcend all levels, including energy, and being able to change brain waves and thought would be would be wonderful, but I don't know if it's possible in a physical being. I'd certainly like to think so, and I think as humans and humanity, we're about to go through a huge change.
All right. Let me ask you about this, because we are a paranormal radio show, and a lot of people are, you know, have some interest. Now, I know in the book you mentioned that you've met and had conversation with the big G-O-D, but you haven't met Jesus or Buddha or, you know, any of the other lesser players, I guess, in the market. Now, is there more than just God as the one ruler? Is there levels of gods and deities, and where does Jesus fit into the mix, and where did Buddha and Elvis Presley come in? I mean, how does this all fit in?
And quick answer to your question, yes. And to answer it more fully, I'd like to go back on something we touched on earlier.
Okay.
Dick's body, when my angel self, when I leave that in the space, in the vacuum, in the continuum, it's between thought and reality. It's a construct inside me that I know to be true, that energy flows through, and that I can go to and go back to. Same with really the constructs of religion and what we believe to be rulers and higher beings. Perhaps those experiences that I have are run through me as those, and I see them through human veils. When I use the words angel, God, Jesus, Elvis, Buddha, they must, in my mind, be constructs of other higher energies, beings. I can't put the name or face to them, because those could be human vain things to do through my memories. It's just simply the feeling of the energy, and there are different higher ranks of energy throughout the universe, and especially in beings too. And
but is there is one single solitary main source, one God, or are there? Is that even silly for us to consider? I mean, is it just an energy, and there's, you know, kind of higher beings, or is there one president, one king, one man up at the very top of this pyramid?
Oh, it's not silly to ponder. I think it's beautiful and part of our existence and want to be here should be to think about things like that. And naturally, yes, to answer your question, there is one higher collective power. Have I had dealings with it? You could certainly say that. Do I fully understand, or can I possibly prepare to describe that power and awe? Not quite in human words, but it's out there, and there's something that moves us, and something we're not meant to understand. Not yet. But that's what drives it, and certainly modern theological Christianity and all worldly religions have the right through which to channel that energy.
Well, is there a devil?
In the sense of the word that you put it to, there is an extreme malevolent energy. And duality, to any good, there's bad.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a darkness out there, and naturally the darkness radio is a great thing to talk about and do.
Right, but so there's no one big head honcho running hell? I mean, it's just kind of a bad place. And that's the other interesting thing with your book. Now, there is hell, but it's not for, you know, I mean, if I'm a, you know, drug addict, wife beater, you know, I don't know, you know, minimal bad guy, you know, I shouldn't say minimal. That sounds really rude when I just get done talking about wife beater. But I mean, you know, I mean, not being the murderer or you know, terrorist that goes out and takes down an entire building full of thousands of people. I mean, am I going to hell, or am I going to hell for a heartbeat and coming back out of it? What's hell to you, or, you know, in your experiences?
It's a solely mental construct meant to be there. As I said earlier, duality. And the higher being certainly knows that the positivity is better, and should you choose to run darker courses, then I believe in certain ways you pay for them, whether it's through helping others or through your own, I guess, what we could call a quote-unquote purgatory here. Through whatever human words we put to it, there is a place where energy resides when it has been less than positive. And I can't say as to why, but I certainly know there is. And I guess the word put it, here on earth is hell, and there's not as much brimstone and fire as those would think, but it's meant to be a hot, nasty place.
Now, what about demons? Are there demons really here on the planet and messing with us?
Everywhere, all throughout the universe. Energy, as I said, transcends all, and naturally part of that, demons are often useful, not angry energy, it's just so energetic, it is nowhere to go and doesn't know what to do. So it just bounces off the walls, and I deal with them all the time.
And when you say you deal with them, what do you mean?
Being more akin and in tune here on Earth, and sometimes pick up energies.
Can they truthfully possess a human being here on this planet?
I've been looking forward to getting to this part of the discussion for a while, since you are a paranormal show. Ghosts and entities are all tied into the same continuum. It's energy that lingers.
Okay.
And I truthfully believe it's everywhere. And yes, sometimes if that energy that has lingered long enough, there's a possibility that something can manifest, whether metaphysically or physically. That's the whole debate and the science of what we enjoy.
Okay. How many angels are there like you that are residing here on Earth now, just kind of in a downtime for themselves?
I would like to think upwards of 100,000 to maybe 200,000 that I believe are here. I'm not sure most are fully conscious of the decision they made to come here, and most probably wouldn't want to be. They'd want to spend 100 years of our time not being concerned with such universal things. Cosmic things, I should say. So it's their vacation. For me, for some reason, it was unlocked, and I have this information, and I know.
Do you recognize? I mean, if you're out and about, and you bump into Tim across the board from me, and you go, holy crap, hey, you're one of me. You're an angel. I recognize you. I mean, is there something that you can recognize about other people that are angelics?
Nothing that's that forbearing. I should say that physically, by size and nature, we're usually a little larger. The eyes are a little lighter. And just when you speak, I have met several, and I've openly talked to them.
Do they know that they're angels as well?
Not all of them have, but some have certainly been open to accepting the possibility of it, and certainly a few have. A few were relieved when I brought it up.
How many people have, you know, told you, hey, Nikolai, I think I'm an angel, and you can see that they're not? Do you ever inform them? No, afraid not.
how do you say it gently? If we were talking about that amongst people that I know, the word angel would probably be used in the context a little differently. We talk about how energy moves, and I believe everyone has a purpose when they're not here, but only a select few of the chosen.
Do it like really, they do it on the Maury show, Nikolai. Just tell them, you are not the angel.
That's right. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't throw a chair either. No. Yeah, there's a way to let people down, and some people really want to get positive and into it, and I'd like to think that anybody in their own way could experience that and like to have the fulfillment of being able to help others.
Now, going through the universe and through the galaxies, now you say that there is an end to the universe, correct?
Certainly.
And that's where the cathedral is?
Yes, my construct of a cathedral that I can travel through.
Okay, now what does that mean, your construct of the cathedral? Is that only for you? If I were an angel, I'd have a different place?
Once again, that's my big question here on Earth, is that I have these unwavering memories and energy where I know I've been. But to say that energy here are things so physical, I'm not sure. Can we not all have the same similar singular experience, yet be experiencing different things on different planes? So I often wonder, but my cathedral is out there, yes, and there is an inch of space as far as I know it.
Sure. Go ahead, Tim. You have a question?
In the chat room, Nikolai, Tuesday says, should we consider the vibration level and the fact ours is so much lower? She'd also like to know what you do to raise your vibrations to connect with the other 100,000 angels.
I'm so very pleased by that question. Another thing that I had alluded to, yet hadn't really talked about, yes, our magnetic vibrations will be changing. That's something that I've felt and known for a while. It's meant to happen on this planet. I believe there will be an upheaval term with that. I don't honestly like saying that. I think it'll be hard for some humanity to take, but it'll also be a beautiful, amazing thing should we be able to, you know, survive and sustain ourselves through that.
How can we raise our energy levels, Nikolai, so that we can become, in a higher place and have a better life? How can we do that here now, just being regular humans?
Certainly, I think being a listener of shows like this and others certainly helps, because you're open to it. That's my main answer, is being open to it. There's not much else you can physically do to prepare. There's a much grander scheme going, and when it's time, it will be, and our bodies will be able to handle it. But as far as being open and working on ourselves and our environment and our home and treating ourselves as good as we should, once we hit a certain level of understanding, peace, and love with each other that we can sustain, I think that will be the biggest preparing factor.
What can you tell us about life on other planets? Are we going to have definitive proof here that everybody on our planet is going to know for certain that there are alien life forms out there besides what we do here?
The big conundrum. I'd love to think so. Will government complicity ever allow that? Then who knows?
Well, why is it up to the government? I mean, if the aliens are so strong that they can travel through space and time to get here, can't they just show up in the sky and show us that they're here? Why is it up to the government to tell us?
Oh, an excellent point. Naturally, they certainly could, but that's not the way things have been done. As to my experience and my, lessons in this, I've had dealings with other beings from other planets that remember this, that there's a certain specific pragmatic role they play, where they stay as far away as they can, be as involved as they can be, yet stay separate of us. And I certainly think that's the role that they've been playing here.
Now, are there millions of different life-sustaining planets out there that bear different life forms?
I would like to think that a million is a humble number to use.
Okay. Now, of that huge number, do you know how many are actually in contact with our planet?
Several thousand, if not more, throughout our existence.
Right.
As a being and as a race of humans, several thousand, easy. If not to say that there aren't 50 or 100 species that actively watch us now.
Do they influence our history, our planet, our life? I mean, do you believe that alien technology was used here to help us build the pyramids and you know, teach us warfare and the things that people have claimed that alien influence has done?
Firstly, to your first question, yes, I do believe so. And secondly, to your other question, yes, they've been here and have influenced us, and so they haven't been supposed to. They have a standard procedure to follow always, and they said singular beings too, and make things, and that sometimes they have done things that they shouldn't have. And truly, especially in ancient cultures, I believe that they were here more so than they are now. I don't know.
Are there different with the different alien races? I mean, like in all things, you said there's good and bad. Who are the bad races that we should, you know, be aware of and keep an eye out for?
The ones most clear in my mind that I visualize, that I can see and know, that there's a reptilian race, darker, green skin. They care more about medical research than the beauty of the energy that resides in all of us. They're more interested in the scientific side of life than beautiful side of life, coexisting peacefully with others.
So they're not really evil, they're just... they have a different take on why they're here, and they see us more as a learning tool or a learning example. It's not really a sign of evil. It's just that's what they do.
It's my definition of good and evil.
That okay. Be
many different eyes in many different ways, and that's just the way we perceive it. But yes, and there are others out there, many more that wish us well than harm. I can say that.
All right, well, we have to take our second break here. Nikolai, stick with us, and all you stick with us. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show.
Are UFOs real? Does Bigfoot exist? Was Emily Rose really possessed? Who is the next American Idol?
She bangs! She bangs! Oh, baby, when she moves,
thank
I'm
you.
Wasted by the way
thank
she...
you.
We try to answer these questions and more each week on The Darkness on the Edge of Town.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of the ghost hunters, to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
If you bleed from the ears while listening to Leo Sayer Records, would it qualify as a paranormal experience? I thought so. Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town. Ooh, that hurts.
And welcome back to the show. I want to thank you very much for tuning in. Remember, here with you every Sunday night from 10 to midnight Central Time. And if you can't listen to us live, remember that all of our shows are archived on the website. You can go to darknessradio.com, click on the listen button, and there we have the last 2 years of every show we've ever done archived there for your listening pleasure. So do us a favor. Let your friends and relatives and neighbors know about it. You can also go to planetparanormal.com and click on the Darkness Radio link, where there you can sign up for our RSS feed. And I guess it's set up through iTunes. Is that right, Tim? So when people subscribe, it'll automatically let them know that, or it'll automatically upload or download to their computer.
Right to your iTunes, yep.
So then people can never miss our show, right?
They'll That's right.
And they could take it with them on their iTunes player. I'm so
not
technically savvy.
You're serious, right?
What you call that, their iPod?
Is that their iPod? Your MP3 player?
That's right. So, yeah, you can check out the shows.
That's the one where you stick the tape in it, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You can listen to our shows at any time. Please let your friends and relatives, neighbors, everybody know about us and get, help spread the word about Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm going to get back in to our interview with Nikolai. And, Tim, you said that we had a question coming from the chat room. Is that right?
Yeah, we do, Nikolai. And actually, this one comes from Anthony in the chat room, and it's actually pretty interesting. He says, according to biblical belief and canon, angels are a separate race from humans. So how do you go from being an angel to a human? According to the older texts, angels were supposed to bow down to humans, which sparked off the war in heaven. He'd like to know what your stance is on the veracity of that statement.
I think that there's some truth to that. I think certainly a long time ago that there could be some validity and water held in that statement. But as time goes on, we naturally mix. Even as being an angel, there's so many feelings of human. Why should an angel forgo any experience, as should any soul or energy? So this experience, as well as many others as being human, were offered to me. I can't remember the first or why or how I was even brought here, but I've been lucky enough to be, as well as to have reincarnated as many other beings. So as to his question, I could fully give him the answer. All I can say is that through time, there's an understanding built and an allowance that can happen.
Now, is it because there was such a jealousy between the angels and the humans that that's why the angels choose to take a physical form here when they have their vacation, is that they can, you know what it's like to live as a human and one of God's, you know, chosen?
I certainly can't speak for before my creation existence. There could have been more of that earlier, but since my existence, I've never dealt with that. Most beings, species, are completely seen as equals to angels. We're energy. We can transcend and become beings too. We're chosen to be angels, but we're not always angels. My energy is mine.
Now, if you have a child here on Earth, does that child, you know, was it at one time an angel? Can it be an angel? Can it become an angel in the future?
Well, I'd love to ask my child that one day when I do have one. It will be its own existence and experience. And like I say in the book, I chose my parents because of a warm feeling. I didn't feel anything specific. There were no specifics. I didn't know. I knew I was going through a change and that my energy was going to shift into another existence. And I welcomed it. And I believe that's how life is born, is through our choice.
I understand that part of it, but can I die, and even though I was never an angel to begin with, can I choose in my next incarnation to become an angel?
If you have a good feeling and wish something strong enough and want something bad enough, it can certainly happen. As to that extent of being an angel, I can say that there would be somewhat of an application process where they choose you. And if you're right and kind and loving and can share that selflessly with others for an extended period of time, then certainly I believe anyone could be an angel. There's such a need. Isn't there always for compassion and love?
Definitely. Definitely. Well, explain to us, now in the book you're talking about the whiteness. Can you explain to us what is the whiteness besides the way Tim and I dance? And what exactly is the whiteness, and when does it begin, where does it end, and how do we access it?
The whiteness is everything and nothing. It ties right into my universal mantra, which is, I said this when I was 13 or 14 in one of our first sessions, and both me and my mother stood back and had to stop for a minute because, to me, it summates everything that is. And to this day, I repeat it. And it's that there's connection and order, love and guidance, eternity and evolution, and group creation of all realities. And to put human terms on it, besides those things, nothing is really as important to me as those, besides connection, love, and guidance. And those three things, certainly, yeah. Those are things that bind me to its existence, and I believe bind all our energies to the universe and the cosmos, and that is love.
I like the one line that you said in the book, when you're helping someone to find the light, you're helping them to remember.
Mm-hmm.
Have all of us lived multiple lives? Can I choose just not to reincarnate after my death or physical death here on Earth?
That's the beauty. Yeah, certainly. The choice is yours. We can continue on as long as we like. Our energy itself is... quite an amazing, powerful thing. And that's what truly drives all of us, I believe.
Can I choose to live longer here in this vessel?
Well, I'd love to think so. With modern science, we might be so lucky, but I don't think so. I don't think you can... There's no, heavenly will to go on the people who pray. To some extent, that helps, because that's the love and the energy that's transcending through prayer. But as far as a higher being saying, oh, yeah, you can live another 20 years, no.
Oh, really? So we can't, by lifting our vibrational level, you know, there's no known way that you think of that we can extend our own lives here on Earth? And, you know, I mean, because if we are an energy form, if we understand that and we accept that fact and we live in the energy, shouldn't that eventually allow us to just continue to live and exist?
You pose an excellent point with the magnetic vibrations. That could very possibly prove true. There is certainly an open chance of that happening, and not only exceeding and extending our lifelines, but also making life and our wavelength patterns so much better. It could certainly be possible. But as far as my experience and why I believe I was put here, it's not so much tied. I'd like to think that that could certainly happen, and that anything's possible. But in the grand scheme of things, it would be a little vain, I think, as humanity to be most concerned about that. It could certainly happen, and we could live longer, but I think we should be focusing on doing more while we're here.
Okay, go ahead, Tim. You have another question?
Anthony had a follow-up to the question that Dave had earlier about you having kids. Anthony wants to know, if you had a kid yourself, Nikolai, wouldn't that breed a Nephilim, angel-human crossbreed? And he said that being the lost race that was mentioned in the early chapters of Genesis as being an abomination, and that the Nephilim were killed off at the end of the Great Flood to be imprisoned until the end of time and then cast into hell. Wouldn't that...
Right, but that was, Tim, that was... The angels just came here to intermingle. They didn't take on... human form as much as they did, you know. I mean, like what Nikolai's saying is here, he chose to incarnate as a human. The angels just came down, and the angels that were here to watch over the earth decided that they wanted to take the females of our planet for brides and for sex, and that's what created the Nephilim race.
I don't blame them.
Oh, no, you know, nothing hotter than a good old-fashioned earth girl, but...
Yeah.
But that's what created it. I don't think in his natural state that he's in now that he would be, he wouldn't create the Nephilim again as it happened in the past, supposedly.
I couldn't say it better, Dave. I couldn't say it better. That's truthfully it. I chose to be here in a human capacity, even though my energy retains. So I have those experiences, and I'm not here in my physical angel sense. And if I were here in any way that naturally I wouldn't breathe. I don't believe that I would. That wouldn't be my... It might be my right, but would it be right to do? Certainly not. But I'm here in human form, so any child and family that I have maybe connected to that, if that energy chooses to come with me. Who knows? One of my angel friends could choose to be my son. That could certainly be possible. But on this earth, in this context, would it have an angelic, you know, lifestyle? I doubt as much as those would think. But anything's possible. And I want to live a solely human life here. It'd be nice to help. And I love talking and sharing my experiences. But this is wonderful, this experience here. The Earth is truly one of the beautiful planets. And we are truly one of the beautiful species. And our potential is huge. And that's why it's both amazing and heartbreaking. And that's why I choose to be here.
You said in the book, too, that on this planet, it's not as lonely for you as when you've incarnated on other planets. What does that mean to you?
Well, human connection is built so much on emotion. And in other parts, it's not. And in other less developed planets, civilizations, galaxies, things are much more rudimentary, brutal, as we would think of Neanderthals here. And still, in a lot of our space, a lot of existence like that. So to reach a plane where and a planet where people are evolved and can freely think and pose their own questions is wonderful, especially on Earth, because you can see what fruits of it. You know, there's so many different extremes, and that's truly, I think, what makes it beautiful.
Well, help me out on this, Nikolai. My main drive in the paranormal field is to learn more and to try. I think a lot of us are driven by what comes next. My main fear in life is the fear of death. Terrified of it. It's terrified me since I was a child. What can you tell me from your experience and as a carrier angel meant to be here to help people, what can you tell me to help alleviate this chronic mind-numbing fear I have of death?
One word, smile. I have often had that thought, as we all do, of death. But I smile and welcome it just as I will any other emotion or experience, because I know it's replayed and rebound through us many times. And I truthfully, honestly do believe that, because I know I've experienced it. And it's just another cycle, just as birth. So, I mean, maybe to tell you that not to look forward to your death, but the one reason to look forward to is because you will be reborn again should you choose to. And that is the most fulfilling, amazing feeling in the world. I mean, the earth thrills are great, but try being born.
I guess my fear is, too, that, you know, I mean, that there is something definitely beyond this realm, that I'm not just rotting in the ground somewhere in a box. How can I tap into it so that I can get these answers for myself, so I don't need to find a Nikolai here on Earth? What can you recommend that I can do to open myself up to understand it and start to get the sense of what comes next and the eternal life that is?
Well, should anyone want to do that after they check out my book and then learn more about the lightness, they can go into it. The whiteness is yours. It's mine. It's everywhere. It's everything. And it's what binds us and makes us interconnected. And that's certainly what makes everything beautiful. And should you be able to tap into that, which anyone can, through their own forms of hypnotism or deep relaxation, breathing techniques. For me, I can almost instantaneously access in my mind and go to a place so peaceful and where I know I'm in. And the whiteness is through all of us. And should you be able to tap into that and believe in your heart that you can go an astral plane and see anywhere in the universe, because we're certainly capable of that.
Okay.
And go inside yourself. And then the things that you see and feel from inside, if you trust them. And be critical of yourself, but should you find that some of those things feel more than real to you, then they probably are.
Nikolai, I appreciate you sharing. Tim's signing me that we're wrapping up this hour. Again, the name of your book is Angel on Vacation. The author's name on the book is NVM, because Nikolai is keeping his life private so that he's not as bothered. But people can reach out to you, and how can they contact you if they have questions or need assistance, Nikolai?
They can contact me through experiencers.net. My book is also available as a Mobi book from mobipocket.com, mobipocket.com. It's been a pleasure being here. The hour went so quick.
Yeah, it did.
I felt very welcome, and thanks to very all of you.
Thank you very much, Nikolai, and thank you all for tuning into the show. Stay tuned. We're going to come back after the top of the hour. We're going to be talking to Patrick Burns. and Chris Fleming. So stick with us, and then later on in the show, we'll be talking to John Zaffis and Chip Coffee. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show.